Okay, we are on Parshas Vayechi. Okay, last Parsha in Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Vayechi, which is interesting, as many point out, Vayechi Yaakov, Parshas Vayechi is about the death of Yaakov, Chaye Sarah is about the death of Sarah. Okay, the Tzadikim, Afilu B'Misasa, Nikurim Chayim, that's the Vayechi Yaakov. So let's start off with a pasuk. I thought that some might be familiar to some. But Perak Memches, Pasik Chav Beis, in the middle of Shlishi, right at the end of Shlishi, where Yaakov Avinu, this is all about brachas, this parsha, Yaakov Avinu is giving brachas, he gives brachas to his children, to his grandchildren. So Pasik Chav, Ayivarchem, Bayamahu Leymar, V'chay Yivarech Yisrael, Leymar Yisim Chalim, Kefraim Bechem Menashe, Shem should bless you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Vayasim is Ephraim lefnei Manasseh. Of course, he switches the hands. Vayomer Yisrael al Yosef, hinei anochi meis. Vahaya Elohim imachem. Vehishiv eschem al eretz avoseichem. And you will be returned. Right, Yisrael says to Yosef, I'm going to die, and he will return you to the land of your forefathers. Vani nasati lecha shchem achad alachecha. I will give you one extra shchem, more than your brothers. Asher lakachti miyad ha'emori b'char b'yuv akashti. So what does it mean, Shechem Achar Alachecha? So, one shot is that Yosef was split into two Shvatim, right? Ephraim and Manasseh, that's an extra Shechem that he got. But the end of the Pasuk is what we're going to focus on. Asher lakachti miyad ha'emori, I'm going to give you an extra chelek of what I conquered, what I received from the Emori, b'charbi uvakashti, with my sword and with my bow. What does exactly mean? He fought the Emori and he conquered, b'charbi uvakashti. What exactly is meant by Bacharbi Uvakashti? So Unkelus, look at Unkelus on the Pasuk, and Pasuk Chabez, you're going to take one extra section upon your brothers that I got from the Emorim, Bitzlosi Uvava Usi, says Unkelus, with my tefillah. Even though it says with my sword and with my bow, it really means with my tefillah. Tzlosi Uvava Usi are two different words for tefillah, as we say in every Kaddish, Tiskabel Tzloshon Uva Ushon. The Kaddish after every Shemon Esrei gets a Tiskabel, and that Tiskabel slows of Oso, and that's what he says, Slosi of Usi. So what exactly is meant by this? What is Yaakov saying? But also, what is this? These two Lashonos of Tefillah, Slosi of Usi. So the following thought is mentioned both by B'Shem the Brisker Rav, it's mentioned, and Kimat verbatim, the same Chiddush and Pshat is found in the Meshech Chachma. We're going to see it in the words of the Meshech Chachma, but the Brisker Rav and the Meshech Chachma both give the same idea to explain what's the difference between Bacharbi Uvakashti and Slosi Uvausi. So again, two questions really. What's the difference between those two tefillos, and how are they alluded to in those two words of the Torah? Why did Yaakov choose to allude to his prayer, to his tefillah, with the words, my sword and my bow? So what exactly is meant? So let's see the Meshech Chachma in source number 1. B'charbi uvakashti. Targum unkelis bitzlusi uvavausi. Slusi huseder tefillah hakavua. You know what slusa means? Again, tiskabel tzloson uvauson. Hashem, accept our two types of tefillah. Slusi is seder hatefillah hakavua. It's the set tefillah that we have. Kamosha amar hashevach vatefillah vahuta ma'akvin. The set form of tefillah that we have, the tefillah that the Atayashik Reses HaGadolah made. The set tefillah, Uba'usi Hubakasha. Ba'usi is the subjective, the personal element of tefillah. Asher Amru, as Chazal say, Imratza Adam L'chadesh B'tefillaso, Me'ein Kol Bracha Sh'ol Adam Tzrachav. Person could add in their own part of tefillah, their own personal addition to tefillah. So there's the set part of tefillah, but we know there are certain parts and certain times in Shemona Esrei when we're allowed to add in what personal elements in Shomea Tefillah, in Refa'enu, at the end is a personal element. V'hine nafgamina, it says the Meshech Chachma, what's the difference between these two types of tefillah, the set tefillah, the tzloshon, versus the personal creative tefillah, uva uson, nafkamina, ki seder hatfila shezu avota kavua, the set tefillah that we have, ein hakavana ma'akev. The set tefillah, obviously, it's best to have kavana during davening, but if somebody does not have proper kavana during Shemona Esrei, it's not ma'akev. V'im kivein levavo ba'avo sagi. As long as we know the Shulchan Aruch says the first bracha, it's okay. There's still power. There's still efficacy to our tefillah that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah made, even without our proper kavana. Ubekavana mu'et sagi. Why is that? because the Anshei Sakana Gadol, as we just mentioned, wrote this tefillah. There were Nevi'im amongst them. There's special power that was implanted in these words. That's why we can't just make up our own tefillah. We have to use the words that Chazal told us to use, and in that way there's this tremendous power inherent in those words. They're full of power. That's obviously, having Kavana is even greater. But even without Kavana, this type of tefillah, the set tefillah, would work. Lo kein b'chiddush, but the personal tefillah that we add in ourselves, that does not work unless it has kavana. I'm asking, anything personal? What, I'm not going to think when I say it? No, boy kavani is, that's my own words. That's from me. You have to have kavana when you say those words. Boy kavani yaseira. And that's what's meant. He even says in the Gemara Maseches Tainis, the end of the column, ain't tefillah shel adam nishma'as, ela im kein meisim nafsho b'chapo. You gotta put your soul in the palms of your hand. You gotta let it all on the line. It'll let it all out. Ask the Gemara, Eini va'ukim Shmuel amor alei v'darash. Shmuel mentions that maybe you don't have to have full kavana. Answers the Gemara on line 7, lo kasha kan biyachid kan bitzibur. So even though the simple interpretation means one person davening versus a tzibur davening, says the Meshech Chachma, maybe another pshat is yachid means the personal tefillah, and the tzibur means the tefillah that Chazal, the set tefillah that Chazal made up. Pirush is seder ha-tefillah shu bitzibur af below kavana. Miskabelas. Lokin apagasha chadasha, the personal element of tefillah, that we obviously need deep kavana. Those are the two types of tefillah. That's what we say in every Kaddish after Shemona Esrei. Tiskabot sloson of Uson. That's what Yaakov Avinu said here. I gained this from the Amori b'charbi uvakashti, but slosi uvausi, says the Unkelis. There's just one point left to explain. How were those two tefillos alluded to in the words of Yaakov Avinu? What is a sword and a bow have to do with the two types of tefillah? So now, says the Meshech Chachma, and again the same exact thought is said by the Brisker Rav. Line 16. Vihine, cherev hu atzmo mazik. A sword inherently is a dangerous item. You don't need so much power to kill with a sword, to damage with a sword. Think of it as a young child picking up a very, very sharp knife. So it's screaming, "Dad!" Why? Because you could be a two-year-old and do something terrible with a very sharp knife. If it's a dull knife, is it something else, we're not worried. But if it's a very sharp knife, inherently, it's dangerous. So a cherev, a sword, is mazik inherently. Shebarzel sheyesh lo chidud meimis b'kol shehu, vein tzarach umud. You don't have to try so hard. Aval hakeshes. What about a bow and arrow? A bow? A bow does nothing by itself. A bow is all dependent on the archer. The better the archer, the deeper, the harder he pulls back, the farther it's going to go. But it's all dependent on the archer. Hakesh is b'atzmo eino mazik. Rak koach hamor, it's all totally on the archer. V'tolu lifi koach v'rocho kamor b'keshes. How far do you pull back? Says the Meshech Chachma, beautiful, that's b'char b'yu v'kashti. Cherev, what is cherev? That's the first type of tefillah, that's the set tefillah. The tefillah that you don't need kavana, it has inherent power. Even without kavana, that's the sword. The sword has inherent power, even without the person doing it. Obviously, if you take a sword and you use it, a strong person uses it, it does even more. So the set tefillah, if we have kavana with it, we can do even more. That's obviously the ideal. But lezekar tefillah b'shem charbi, she afalo kavana meruba, uba usi b'shem kashti. But the personal element of tefillah, that's like a bow, shikamo keshes. The deeper we pull back, the farther it could go. And that's what's even meant in the Gemara in Brachas Daf Hey, line 25, Kalakori Kriyashma al Mitaso, Kilu Oches Cherev al Shtei Pifios. If you say Kriyashma properly, it's as if you're holding a sword. Why Ki al Mitaso in Enabakavanam Ruba? That's the set tefillah. You're holding a sword. But these are the two types of tefillah. Again, the message being that when we daven, the deeper, a lot of tefillah, we say the set words, we have to have kavana the whole tefillah, but a lot of times, where do we have the most kavana? With the parts that we add in. In the Shomei Tefillah, in the Refa'enu, in Atachoni, whatever it is what we add in. But the deeper our kavana, the more effective and the farther the tefillah goes, because it's just like a bow. The more we pull back, the more we go deep into our hearts in forcing the tefillah, so in that way, the farther it could go. That's Slosi Va'usi, Yaakov Avinu, Bechar B'yu V'kashti. Okay. We know most of Vayechi, what Vayechi is famous for, is the brachos. The brachos of Yaakov Avinu, or at least they're called brachos. Not all of them seem like such brachos. Let's look at the first one. Bracha that the Bechor, Reuven, at least the biological Bechor, received. So what does Reuben get? What does Yaakov Avinu tell him? Yaakov Avinu says to Reuben, come close to me, Revi'i. Revi'i, a few psukim after Revi'i, Pasuk Gimel, Reuven b'choriata. You are my firstborn. Kochi, there's more chumashim here if anybody needs. Kochi v'reishis oni. You are the strength, my first strength. Oh, chumash tonight would be good. Yeser se'es v'yeser us. Okay, you are very strong. What does he say? Pachas kamayim al tosar, ki alisa mishkevei avicha. They say, Pachas, you're fast like water. Just like water goes quickly downhill. Reuven, you're a little impatient. Pachas kamayim al tosar. Right? You can't go ahead. You can't get moser. You can't get more than anybody else. Ki alisa mishkevei avicha, because of what you did with the beds. Az chilalti yitzui Allah. Rashi quotes, this is a reference to the Maisa with Bilha. That's the quote-unquote brachas. Obviously, many mefarshim say that these aren't brachos, but these are really just describing the mahus, the nature of all of these shvatim. That's what Yaakov Avinu says. If you look at a Rashi in Parshas Dvarim, I gave you a quote of the Rashi in source number 2. If you look at source number 2, line 13. Rashi there quotes what Yaakov Avinu was doing here. He was giving, Yaakov Avinu was giving Reuven Musar. The question is, why did he give him Musar earlier? Right? 17 years he was in Mitzrayim, 22 years Yosef was gone. Right? That's a long time before, and the whole story of Shechem took place before that. So what exactly did he wait for? To the end of his life? So Rashi quotes the third pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. Yes, he dafka waited. Moshe Rabbeinu there is giving Musar. So look in source 2 in the middle. Amar she Yaakov lo hechiach as Reuven b'chol hashanim halalu. Yaakov didn't give rebuke to Reuven in all these years. Ki pachad, he was scared. She Reuven yelech v'yidbak be'esav ekav kach. He was worried that if he gave him Musar, maybe Reuven would be totally turned off, and he would go over to Esav's side. I'll read you the lashon. I'll get it for in a minute. The exact lashon of Rashi. Rashi says. Melamich lo hochichan el asamach lamisa. Mimi laman ni Yaakov. Shelo hochichach es banav el asamach lamisa. Amar Reuven b'ni. Ani omer lo. Mipnei ma lo hochachich tachol Hashem alalu. Kedei shelo tanicheni v'telech v'tidvak v'esav achi. I didn't rebuke you all these years because I didn't want you to chas v'shalom go over to Esav. That's Rashi. Let's think about this for a minute. We're talking about Reuven. We're talking about one of the Shvatim. What does Rashi say? Yaakov couldn't give Musar to his son, to Reuven, one of the Shiftei Kah, because if I would give Musar, maybe he would be turned off, and he would go off the Derech, and he would go over to Esav, Harasha. Is that something that we would have thought? Many people in history received rebuke and didn't go out of the fold. I'm talking about Reuven here. I'm not talking about anybody in Tanakh. I'm talking about the oldest son, the one of the Shiftei Kah. So what exactly is the message? Again, what is that? And what, it'll be better by Esav. Esav will give him more covet. Yeah, that's what he's going. Esav, the Gazlon, and the Rotseach, and the. So what exactly is the message here? That's the question of Rav Nevenzahl. Nevenzahl, source number 2, asks, what exactly is meant by this Rashi? How are we supposed to understand that there was really a chashash, and that's why he didn't say anything until the end of his life? So Rav Nevenzahl suggests maybe the message, whether it was actually a chashash by Reuven or not, we'll never know. We'll never know what would have taken place. But at least the message for us is clear. That's in the second paragraph in source number 2. Reuven alul azoves Yaakov's im kvodo yipaga. Reuven, there was a chash in Yaakov's mind. He would leave if his kavod was trampled on. If the position he had in life was knocked by someone. What, there he would get more covet? But Yaakov Avinu, the Torah, Reuven knew he was a tzaddik. He knew he wasn't going to get anything by Esav. This is what he received all his life. Aval Ro'im, says Rav Nevenzahl, Rav Rashi of the Ir Atika, what do you see from this message, this chazal? Shekoach ze shel hakavod shel adam shekvodo nifka olu lahavir es ha'adam al taito hayishara. When our kavod is nifka, when we're slighted in any way, we do things sometimes that are irrational. We can't deal with it. We can't deal that somebody gets ahead of us at our expense, that we're stepped on, that we're made fun of, that somebody does something and we're nifka, our covered. This is me you're talking about here. Me, this is how you treat me? When a person's covered is slighted, he could do things that are totally don't make sense. And somebody like a Reuven could go over to an Esav. Hapikia bechvodo shel adam alula l'tchofo so l'maisim shem benigo l'akaraso v'ashkafas alamo, could go against everything he stands for. Everything that's of his ashkafa. L'peulos ha-noged es kol mashu mamin bo b'muna shleima. That's the message. Whether Reuven would have done it or not, who knows? But Yaakov Avinu is trying to teach us something, and Chazal is trying to teach us something. V'im Reuven chashad al kach, sorach ladas b'kal v'chomer, shekal echad mi'itanu chashad al kach. This is something that we have to be aware of. Because we all have self-assurance, we all have feelings. We're supposed to have feel good about ourselves. But we have to make sure that when we are slighted, and we all are slighted in different ways at different stages, we have to make sure we don't take it so personally, and it doesn't go to our heads. It's a good question. Was it a bigger slight that he took away the Bechorah? But, you know, that was not due to any act of Reuven. That was just meant to be. There was nothing that he could do about that. Yosef was also a Bechor. Right, so, right, he was not Yaakov's Bechor, but he was Bechor. And did they know? It's a good, interesting question. Did the Shvatim ever know about what happened with Rachel and Leah? Did they ever find that out? Not 100% clear that, you know, whether they ever knew that. So again, that might have to do with it also. But this is the message that Rabbi Nevinzal says. There's an amazing story that's related to this in the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, we know the last parak, called Chelek. Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Haba. The first Mishnah lists off that every Jew has a Chelek in Olam Haba. Some have a bigger portion than others, but every Jew has a Chelek in Olam Haba, except the following people. There are a few people that are on a very special list that don't have a Chelek in Olam Haba. One of those people discussed is Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat, he in Tanakh who placed idols to try to lead Am Yisrael away from going to the Beis HaMikdash. He set up his own temple. Yeravam, when the Malchus was split, right, so he took part of Klal Yisrael in the times of Rechavim ben Shlomo. So the Gemara tells a story about Yeravam ben Nevat. But he was a very smart person. He was a Talmud Chacham, the Gemara says. So he knew a lot. Says the Gemara, source number 3. Achar adavar azeh lo shav Yeravam midarko hara'a. After this thing, says the Navi, Yeravam did not do tshuva. My achar, after what? After what, says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Abba, achar, after the following story. Shetofsu HaKadosh Baruch Hu liYeravam bebigdo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, bechvod of Asma, turns to Yeravam and says, V'yamar lo chazor b'cha. Do tshuva. Come back to me. Imagine HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to us in a dream, in a vision, and saying, do tshuva. Do tshuva. Come back to me. We would jump at the opportunity. And look what the offer is. Va'ani vi'ata uben yishai netayo began Eden. We'll all walk in Gan Eden together. What kind of wonderful offer. Look at that. Amazing. We'll all go to Gan Eden together. What does Yeravam say? Amar lo. Mi barosh. Who's walking first? Who's first in line? Hashem answers, Ben Yishai Barosh. Ben Yishai is going first. David HaMelech, Mashiach Ben David, Ihachi Lo Be'ina. Says Yeravam, if that's the case, I can't take along. What Pchisus HaKavod could do, having a walk with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he won't be first. He won't be first? I'm not coming, says Yeravam. That's what the power, what Yaakov Avinu was worried about. Pachas Kaimah Matosar, Rashi says, being a Devarim, he waited until the end of his life. Again, we're not saying whether Reuven would have done it or not, but at least the message for us, it shows you the power of a pchisus when somebody feels that he was slighted and he was wronged. One final source related to this is a line in the Ramchal, in the Mesulas Yesharim in Perek Yud Aleph, in source number 4. Where the Ramchal tells us, Perek Yud Aleph is all about nikius, being clean, having clean midos. Klolo shel davar, let's read the Mesulas Yesharim. Hakavod hu hadochek es lev ha'adam yoser mikol hatashukos v'hachamado sheba'olam. The desire for kavod, for feeling a position in life, is the greatest desire. What he says, the greatest.
He knows there are a lot of other taivas that we have. We have a lot of physical taivas. We have a lot of taivas in the world, in this gashmi world. The greatest one is for kavod. For kavod, for a certain position. If a person wouldn't have this, he'll be happy with whatever he has to eat. Just give me clothes to be able to go outside. What kind of house do I need? Just to protect me from the elements. That's the only house I need. I don't need a house that if my neighbor builds this size, then, you know, I have to build this size. And then if the next person down the block builds this size, then I have to build an even bigger one. That's the strongest taiva, says the Mesillas Yesharim. Vaisa parnaso kal alav, vaisach l'shigia l'asher klal. We won't be running to get the position and becoming partner and becoming this. We wouldn't have that, because that's the greatest taiva that we have, hakavod. As we know in Perkei Avos, hakina v'hataiva v'hakavod, motzien asadam in olam, kina taiva and kavod. So that's what we can learn from Yaakov Avinu, not giving this tochacha to Reuven until the end of his life. Okay, for the next one, we need a chumash. If you have a chumash, everybody open up to the beginning of the parsha. Beginning of the parsha starts off, Yaakov is at the end of his life. So let's focus together, keeping in mind that the person that we're discussing has two names that he's known by. Is there any kind of pattern, and probably more than any other parsha, the Torah as we see, we don't catch it unless we analyze it closely. But the Torah keeps switching. Right? What's his name? Let's read. Vayichi Yaakov Beretz Mizraim Shva Esrei Shana Vayichi Vayime Yaakov Shnei Chayav Sheva Shana Berba Meyach Shana. Yaakov lived 17 years in Mitzrayim, 147 altogether. Vayikrevu Yimei Yisrael Amos. Oh! Well, we're trying to sneak that in. The next pasuk. All of a sudden, now we switch to Yisrael. Yisrael is about to die. Vayikrevu Lev Noli Yosef. Swear to me. He swears to him. End of Laman Aleph. So we have switched from Yaakov to Yisrael. He takes his two sons. We're back to Yaakov. The same pasuk. Yaakov is the one that hears about it, and Yisrael is the one that's mischazik. Yaakov al Yosef. Kel Shakai Niroi Lai Belos Beretz Kenavei Varachosi. Vayomer Lai, he said, you can have a lot of children. I'm going to give you this land. And Vatoshni Vanechan Lodim Locha Beretz Yisrayim. They'll be like children to me, etc. Rachel died. Pasaches Vayar Yisrael. Back to Yisrael. Es Bnei Yosef Vayomer Meyela. Yisrael sees the Bnei Yosef and says, who are these? Vayomer Yosef Aladiv. These are my children. What exactly is that he means there? Didn't he know his own grandchildren? Now it's not for now. Rashi discusses it. Maybe for another time. And he brings them close, and he gives them a hug and a kiss. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer Yisrael El Yosef. Ra'o fanecha lo filalti. I never thought I'd see you again. V'nehera osi elokim gam azarecha. Now I even see your children. And he takes out the children, takes Ephraim and Menashe. Yud Aleph, Vayishlach Yisrael. Es Yamino, Yisrael, takes his hand, and he puts it on the Ephraim. He's Yisrael when he's giving the brachos. Continuing. Yosef sees the hand, and he tells his father. His father says, no, this is exactly what I want to do. Pasachav is the next time his name comes up. Again, Bachal Yivarach Yisrael Limor Yisim Chalim Kefrem Chamanashe. Vayom Yisrael Yosef, Yinei Anochi Meis, I'm going to die, etc. Next parak, parak Memtes. We're back to Yaakov Avinu. Vayikra Yaakov Albana, Vayomer Heasov Adgidol Chemes Yashar, Yikra Yachasov Bachav Zayamim. Yaakov's giving the brachas. Next pasuk. He comes to Vishimu B'nei Yaakov. Vishimu El Yisrael Avichem. What is going on here? What is this? Yaakov, back and forth and back and forth. So one has to look carefully to notice this, because we're just used to reading the hearing the psukim. But the Rabbeinu Bachai already says, what he asked the kasha. Source number 5. What exactly is the switching back and forth? So he gives 2 pshatim. One pshat is that don't be so medactic. Line 4. The alderech pshat. Mashihisku Yisrael v'lo Amar Yemei Yaakov Lamos. Why did it switch to Yisrael? Kamoshin Amar v'tchilo Yichi Yaakov Yemei Yaakov. Why did it switch? Me'ei Shakar HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shem Yisrael v'Amar Lo Yol Yaakov Yermo Shemecha Kim Yisrael. Since the time that Yaakov's name was changed, HaParshios Noagos B'Kemin Agazeh Legroso Pam Yisrael U'Pam Yaakov. Don't get so excited. He has two names. Sometimes you call him one name, sometimes you call him the other name. Because as the Gemara says, once his name was switched, this was not like every other switch in the Torah. Every other switch was an exclusive switch. This name now and not the previous. Avraham and not Avram. You're not allowed to call Avram Avram. Sarah and not Sarai. Yehoshua and not Hoshea. Nobody calls them by their previous names. Yaakov's the only one. He's still known by both. Ein Zemenia. El Shia Shem Yisrael Iker of Shem Yaakov Tafelo. Just means that Yisrael is the Iker name and Yaakov is the Tafel one. Gamzu Aparshin Wekazamina Gazah. Keep switching back and forth. Wonderful. So, no kasha, we can close the safe for now. Obviously, he knows there's something more going on here. The Alderech HaSeichel. Says Rabbeinu Bachai, if you think about it a little deeper, there's a second idea. Mashahiz Kiriru Aksuvim. You have to go through all the psukim to see if it fits, as it does. Mashahiz Kiriru Aksuvim V'Parshazu Pam Yaakov V'Pam Yisrael HaKol B'Hashgacha U'B'Kavana Yedua. It's exactly purposeful, each one. Ki Shem Yaakov Nomar Almidos HaGuf B'Inyoni HaGuf Pa'olam Hazeh. Whenever he's called Yaakov, he's talking about the physical Yaakov. Yaakov is going to die. Yaakov is going to say brachos to his children. Yaakov is always the physical. Ki mashenikra Yaakov, after all, why is he called Yaakov? Based on something physical. Va'yado avchezes ba'akev Esav. He's holding on to the ankle of his brother. Yaakov is his physical mundane olam hazene. V'shem Yisrael nomer amidos hanefesh. And Yisrael always reflects spiritual, midos hanefesh. Hu shekasuv ki sarisa im elokim. Why was he called Yisrael? Because he fought with a malach and he overcame. V'yadua ki ikra kava, and that's Yisrael and that's Yaakov. V'yadua, and it is known, continues Rabbeinu Bachai, ki ikra kava na b'midos hanefesh v'lo b'midos haguf. The ikar is the spiritual, the midos hanefesh. Mikol makom, yet we know I efshar lo la'adam la'akor la'gamrei midos haguf. You can't just negate your bodies. We can't negate our guf. Why? If I don't take care of myself, if I don't eat properly, that's why there's a mitzvah in the Torah. You got to eat healthy. You got to exercise. You got to take care of our physical bodies. But even though that's true, obviously the guf is just the merkava. It's the holder of our neshama. The guf has to be tafel. That's the deeper meaning to what the Chazal say. V'zeh shamer Chazal, line 6:17. Lo sheye oker shem Yaakov imkomo. Don't uproot Yaakov. Meaning, don't, just because you became Yisrael, doesn't mean that you have to negate Yaakov. You're still called Yaakov, but Yisrael's the main. Ela sheye Yisrael iker, v'Yaakov tafelo. Because that's what's symbolized by Yisrael and Yaakov. And that's when he skips down a couple of lines where it's underlined. V'chein derech haksuvim lahazkir Yaakov etzel ha'inyonim hachomriyim v'hadvarim hamurkavim v'agufaniyim. Yaakov is always by the physical and Yisrael by the ruchaniyim. Right? So if you look at just a few of them, right? Again, you have to work through each one. Yaakov lived 17 years. Yaakov lived 147 years. Now Yisrael was coming close to die. He's talking about the shvua that he's going to make about going back to Eretz Yisrael. That's already Yisrael. Continuing, right, he says, your son is coming, Yaakov the physical. Olam Hazeh is told, your son is coming. So he is mischazek himself. What does that mean? It doesn't only mean he physically lifted himself up on the bed, but he got himself together. He got his head focused. The Yosef, the viceroy, is coming to see me. Each one of them, Yaakov says to Yosef, and then it switches. Yisrael says, who are these? Because he's talking about something, giving a bracha. So again, you have to work it out, but that's the Rabbeinu Bachai suggestion. My Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig once suggested another idea, which again fits similar, but it fits into the Pesukim, but it's slightly different. And that is, Yaakov is used, and this is not only by Yechi, he said it in this context, but you can look elsewhere also. Yaakov is used when Yaakov is doing something that pertains to him personally. Yisrael is used when he is acting based on the national destiny of Klal Yisrael as the third Av. Yaakov is going to die. Yisrael is giving brachos to the Shvatim. Yisrael is passing along the legacy. Yaakov is always, again, Rabbeinu Bachai says physical, but it might just mean the Rosenzweig said the personal. The personal element, while Yisrael is more of when he's not just acting for himself, but he's acting based on Klal Yisrael, based on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do. So that's another difference. You got to work it out in the Pesukim, but that also is what another suggestion. So again, either it's just to mention that he has two names, Alderach HaPshat. Alderach HaSeichel is Olam HaZeh, Olam Haba, and the third pshat of personal versus national. Okay, let's continue. Back to the Rashi at the beginning of the Parsha. Vayechi Yaakov. Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. So we discussed this a few weeks ago. Now we have it right. Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. What did the first Rashi say? Lama Parsha Zu Stuma. Right? This Parsha is the only Parsha in the Torah which doesn't have a break in front of it. This is the hardest Parsha for Baalei Kriya to find. We mentioned Parshas Vayetze, that there are certain Parshas that don't have a break within them. Parshas Vayetze, Parshas Miketz, there are some Parshas that don't have a break in them. No Parshas Psuchas and Sumas in them, but Vayechi is the one that is just like a previous word. There's the space that within like two words always have a space in them. That's what Vayechi has also. So why? Why is that the Mesora? First Rashi, Loma Parshas Ustuma. Lafi, Shakivan Sheniftar Yaakov Avinu, Nistamu Einehem V'libam Shel Yisrael Mitzaras HaShibud. Once Yaakov Avinu died, the eyes and the hearts of the Jews closed from the Tzara of the Shibud. Shehischilu L'Shabdam. Because the Shibud started. Yaakov Avinu died, the Shibud started, the hearts and the eyes of Bnei Yisrael were closed. And then Rashi gives a second shot, which is not for us now. He wanted to tell him when Mashiach was going to come, and Hashem didn't want him to. Let's focus on the first one, though. Ask the Chassam Sofer, son of the Chassam Sofer, two questions on this. Two questions. Line 2 in source number 6. V'kfarnis kashu. Halo kolzman she'echam en ha'shvatim ha'yachai lo hiskol ha'shibud. The Shibud didn't start when Yaakov died. The Shvatim was still there. They didn't start yet. They didn't start till after the Shvatim died. And maybe after that. So what does Rashi mean, quoting the Medrash, that right after Yaakov died, the Shibud started. And that's why the hearts and the eyes closed. Question one, the Shiva didn't start yet, it's not true. The Yesh L'Daktik Ode, third line, Belash and Rashi. And also, if you look in the source of the Medrash, Rashi adds on a few words to the Medrash. Shehosif al-Divrei ha-Medrash, he added the following words, Nistamu einehem v'libam mitzaras ha-Shibud. Those words are Rashi's words, not the Medrash. That their eyes and the hearts of the Jews closed. U'b'Medrash al-Marstam, the Medrash just said, Mishemes Yaakov hischil ha-Shibud. And Rashi added that in. So question one, the Shibud did not really start yet. Question two, what is Rashi adding in those words? Says the Ksav Sofer, Kedarko Bakodesh, Venirali, Kishnei Mine Golos Yesh. There are two types of golos that the Jewish people find themselves in. Sometimes both. But there are two situations that we generally find ourselves in any golos throughout history. Yesh Golos HaNefesh, the Golos HaGuf. There's a, what we would call a spiritual galus and a physical galus. He's going to explain what he means in a minute. Ki me'ez asher galinu me'artzeinu ba'avonoseinu harabim. From the moment that we have been thrown out of our lands, anu mufuzar mal arba kanfos aretz, we are thrown to all four corners of the globe. Kam gzeirus avra roshein rachman al islam. We have so many gzeirus upon us. So many gzeirus. Ve'inyin galus ha'nefesh. What does Golas HaNefesh mean? B'yoseinu al admaseinu, ha'yadaru mikdash kohen v'navi. We're still in Golas HaNefesh. We don't have a base of mikdash. It doesn't matter where we live. We don't have a Golas HaNefesh. We don't have a base of mikdash. We don't have a navi. V'hayakiyim torasinu b'shlemus. O'me'ez chasana kol eila ha'tor nisma etes v'avonaseinu harabim v'holeches. Eser malos ha'choranis. Just because we get back to Eretz Yisrael, it's wonderful, it's amazing, we have to be thankful. But we're still in Golas. No Beis HaMikdash, no Kohen Gadol, no Ur Metumim. Rockets falling. That's not Golus. V'kala mitzvah she'ina nogas b'zman hazeh. We can't even do all the mitzvahs. The Chavetz Chaim wrote a Minyan HaKatzar. We know all the Rishonim wrote Sefer HaMitzvahs. What are the 613? Everybody agrees there are 613. Machlokas is what they are. The Rambam, the Ramban, the Chinuch, the Smag, they all have their own counting. What are the 613? The Chavetz Chaim wrote a short Sefer, the Minyan HaKatzar. Which mitzvahs are noig b'zman hazeh? And he has a Sefer on those. Just focus on those. Only about less than 100. Right, how many mitzvahs could you do today? You can't do any of the karbanos. Okay, you can learn about that. So that's a kiyum. No karbanos. A lot of inyoni zra'im. We can't have daraisa nowadays. Shumas d'rabbana and everything's d'rabbana. So many mitzvahs we can't do. Egla rufa, all the mitzvahs that relate to Bezdin, all the mitzvahs that relate to a king. I mean, so many mitzvahs. There are plenty that we could do. Don't worry. But, so the Chavetz Chaim wrote that. So, v'chaim etzvah in Nogos. V'garmach hazalcho, adar b'chutz la'aretz, k'mi she'in lo'aloka. Okay. So says the Ksav Sofer, there are two types of galus. We have the spiritual galus, the fact that we're out and we don't have a central Torah authority and we don't have a Bez Din, we don't have Klal Yisrael together in Eretz Yisrael. And of course the physical galus, when we are persecuted, when we are pushed around, when we are stepped on by the nations around us. Vihine, Shnei Mini HaGalus Elu, says the Ksav Sofer, ironically and amazingly, if you think about it deeply, HaNisayon Yelamdenu, experience teaches us, each of these galios affect Klal Yisrael in opposite ways. When we're persecuted, that type of galus, physically, and when we're not persecuted, but we just don't have the spiritual central magnet that we need. Masha tov laze, mazik laze. What's good for one galus is not good for another galus. What does he mean? Ki be'ez, end of line 11. The more in general, says the Ksav Sofer, writing in the 1800s, the more that we are physically persecuted, or we are physically, we have anti-Semitic laws passed, then taxes, bein ha'umos, az ein churban adas kol kach, then Judaism and Yahadus, the spiritual aspect, generally flourishes a little more. It's not as hard. We are basically a people of Mesiras Nefesh. When push comes to shove and we're downtrodden, then we say, we're happy to be Jews and we're strong to be Jews. Generally, when we're persecuted and we're given the choice, we don't choose to take upon ourselves the other religion. We stand strong in what we believe. Just the opposite. The more we're persecuted, Rachmana Litzlan, a lot of times it works the other way. We get stronger to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, it's not perfect. We don't have Eretz Yisrael, and we can't do all the mitzvahs when we're persecuted, but we do the best we can. Line 17. But the other type of galus is the opposite. The other type of galus may be what this generation has been more used to. When we have everything, and the galus is, join our society, be like us. Maybe it was similar to what the Greeks. Im Hashem nosin la'amo chein v'chesed l'fnei malachim esarim. If Hashem gives chein v'chesed of the Jews in the king's eyes, ki yichoninu osanu v'yikilam yatzavareinu ola galus. They don't make it so hard for us. V'hamasim. So then what happens? Then we start shirking and giving up some of our responsibilities. It's great, let's be like them. When did the Torah flourish more? He says, ironically, the more physical persecution there is, the more Torah there is. The more we have less and we just have a galus, the spiritual galus, meaning we don't have a base on Mikdash, we don't have the physical, that just does, it's the opposite. Continuing. Now he gets back to the point. Line 20. Vihine. I'm sorry, go back a line. Laman yakiru soneinu v'yedu ki anu chafetzu makari v'eslam. Kein anu siyon yilamdeinu. That's what experience teaches us. Vihine. Lo hischal ha-shibud b'Mitzrayim kol zman shal yushvad demene Yaakov chayim. You're right, the physical shibud did not start until the Shvatim died. The Mitzrayim held the Shvatim. Yeah, they were in Goshen, and they were very upset that we used to eat their gods. Fine. But they still held them on a pedestal. Yosef saved the country. This was Yosef's family. Amazing. You have to be mechabed them. So the Jewish people were held in high regard in Mitzrayim. But you know what must have happened, says the Ksav Sofer? Not the Shvatim themselves, chas v'shalom, but hints of it must have started then. Because in every galus in history, when we have everything and the goyim want to be mechabed us, then we start losing our identity. This turned away their hearts and their eyes that blinded them. It's okay to be like them. They'll love us even more if we act like them and are like them. And they will never do anything for us. Skipping a line, Aval Halo Noda Shakeshemes Yaakov Kfar Hayushishim Ribo Uvneyameil Lohalchu B'Darkam. The children of the father didn't follow. B'Chashom Yachashemes Yaakov Yaschilu Shabides Imahem. And then afterwards, obviously, the physical shebet started in Mitzrayim. So it says the Ksav Sofer. What does Rashi say? When Yaakov died, the shebet started. The Shibud started. What do you mean the Shibud? The Shibud didn't start yet. Yes, the Shibud started. Because even though they were loved and they were made to feel comfortable, they were in Galus. And when you're in Galus, what type of the Shibud started? What type of Shibud? They weren't getting thrown into the river yet. But Hischilu Einehem Veliban shall Klai Yisrael. The words that Rashi adds in. Rashi adds in those words to the Medrash because he's alluding to us which type of Shibud has started. Look what he says. Hine, line 8. Ma goram b'stimas yinam v'libam b'torah mitok shal yutchil l'chashuvim b'dechvadim b'misrayim. That's exactly the point. Exactly the point. Because we were chashuvim, that's why our hearts and our eyes were closed off. Aval amr chazal, and chazal even say, it would have been better for Yaakov to be forced down. And then he just ends off. V'shaber merumah stimazu b'vaychi Yaakov, me'achash achay Yaakov eretz Misrayim, shakif v'sha'anan v'yachi Yaakov. He lived, he was fine, he was wonderful. That's why Yenei and Belibim were closed off. So these are the two types of Galios we are in, and no matter what Galios we're in, even if it's a Galios where the Memshalos allow us to do what we want, we have to make sure that we take the message of history and not to try to be like them, but keep our strong identity. Okay, good. Let's go to Perek Memches, Pasuk Hey. Perek Memches, Pasuk Hey. A similar question to what we asked last week, but in a different context. Yaakov tells Yosef, Kel Shakai Nira Lai Beluz, and he says to Yosef, Atosh Neva Nechan Olodim Lecha Be'eretz Mitzrayim, your two sons that were born to you in Eretz Mitzrayim, Ad Bo'i Elecha Mitzrayim, before I came to you, Liheim, they're going to be like me. They're going to be mine. Meaning, Ephraim and Manasseh, Kiru Mishimon Yili, Ephraim and Manasseh get a promotion. They get a promotion. They became quasi-shvatim. To know, in every context, when are Ephraim and Manasseh considered one? When are they considered two? Meraglim, Achelik and Eretz Yisrael. Right? So for most things, on the Choshen. Right? So every time, sometimes they're one, sometimes they're two. So here Yaakov promoted them. Ask Yaakov, come and ask you the obvious question. He gave them a promotion. How did all the problems start? So we asked last week on Yosef, how did Yosef show favoritism to Binyamin? But now, same question on Yaakov Avinu himself. What? This is another Ksonas Pasim. Yeah, Yosef, your kids, I'm giving you double. You get to be two Shvatim. What's Yosef doing? What's Yaakov doing here? The same problem. What is he? And this is at the end of his life. He saw everything that happened, that occurred. L'chora, again, it's not 100% clear if Yaakov ever knew what the brothers did. We spoke last week whether he knew during the time, but afterwards, it's still not 100% clear whether Yaakov knew, whether the brothers told their father what they did. But either way, he's doing the same thing. Ask Amos Yaakov. Why Shlomar? The Amos Kasha, source 8. Eich lo yari Yaakov, she yakpidu ha'achim, she yivarech v'bracham yuchedes v'bnei Yosef. They got a special bracha. He treated them nicely. He split the shvatim, and he even gave them a special bracha. So why aren't they worried? Right, similar to the question that he quotes the Gemara Megillah we discussed last week, what they asked on Binyamin and Yosef's behavior. V'hanira li line 6, says of Yaakov Kamenetsky, an idea that he writes in other places as well. To b'nei Yosef hutzruchu l'bracha miyuchedes, or actually let's go back for a minute. In the pasuk itself is embedded the answer. Because what does Yaakov emphasize? Your two sons that you had in Eretz Mitzrayim before I came Lehem. What, we don't know where they were born? Right, Yosef wasn't married. Right, the two sons that you had in Eretz Mitzrayim. What's the emphasis? He's emphasizing the reason for the bracha with those two words. Back to Rabbi Yaakov, Bahanir Ali, line 6. Yosef, the children of Yosef needed a special bracha, which the other brothers' children did not need. They didn't grow up in the Zayda's house. They didn't grow up in the shtetl in Canaan. They grew up in the metropolis of Egypt. That's a very different upbringing. The Shvatim realized that their nephews are very different than the other nephews that they grew up with. And there was a danger and a worry that they would get more mixed in. That's why Yaakov had to promote them. You got to be like my sons. You got to, right? We know Rav Soloveitchik pointed out the first place we have in history where a father, a grandfather, and his grandson have a relationship is right here. Yaakov and his grandchildren. Yaakov learned with his grandchildren, Chazal say. Learned Torah with Ephraim. So it says he was worried. Shemitamu ben agoyim bizlan galusam. That's what's said in the pasuk. Because they were born in Mitzrayim, that's why he had to give them even more attention and bracha. And he continues and says, this also explains a number of other items. Ulafizel, line 16, Nire, she'Ephraim hayetzarech lahakarazu yoser mimenashe. Ephraim, the younger son, maybe needed even more of a push and more of a hashgacha than Menashe did. Why? Shimnavola hashkif al shmosam. Because it says amazing. Look at the names. Look at the names, Ephraim and Menashe. Nire. Why was Menashe called Menashe? Nikra al shem kinashani elokim es kolam aliv es kobe savi. Hashem has helped me forget all of my travails and troubles from my father's house. But there's still a connection to the father's house by Menashe. Yosef is still connected and thinking about Beis Avi. Kiyadan hayachai bezachron Beis Aviv. What about Ephraim? Why is he called Ephraim? Ki Ephrani Hashem be'eretz ani. Hashem helped me prosper here. The names reflect the distance that Yosef feels. Ephraim is more connected to Mitzrayim than Menashe is. And then he even says, Ahara. V'gam Hashemos Mochichem, the names themselves. Kim Ni'ayi Nira. Says, look at these names. Sheshemos Mitzrayim. All the Egyptian names have pay, ayins, and reishes in them. Paro, Potiphar, Paneach, Pshifra, Pua. They all have pays and ayins, some have reishes in there. That must have been the Egyptian culture. Ephraim. That's also in that group. Shamar Chazal, why didn't he say Yocheved and Miriam? Why did he call Shifra and Pua? Obviously, those were Egyptians' nicknames. Hare Dishmo Seima Yamatsiya, Peva, Haresh, Vahayin. Ulafizeh, Shem Ephraim, Shem Mitzri. So not only is the name Ki Ephrani Shem Beres on you, the name itself is probably an Egyptian name. So Ephraim needed even more. That's why maybe Ephraim, the younger son, got more of a bracha. Because he needed it more. Just like the Shvatim recognized that the two sons needed it more, Menashe realized that Ephraim needed it more. Most. And that's why Yaakov keeps mentioning. That's why in the Pasuk, Yaakov mentions these children that were born in Mitzrayim. And in the bracha itself, in the next column, Rabbi Yaakov emphasizes. In the bracha itself, he keeps emphasizing Eretz Canaan, Eretz Canaan, Eretz Canaan. Don't forget Eretz Canaan, because that's what this bracha is all about. These two grandchildren of mine, I got to raise up. They have to be like children, because I need them to feel the connection that I have to Eretz Canaan. And then finally, one last point that he says is explained by this. The end of the column, line 30. The Efshar, maybe this is also explains the story that the Gemara tells us, that the Bnei Ephraim tried to leave Mitzrayim early. Chazal say. And they were massacred. And they tried to leave Mitzrayim early. It wasn't the time. Before the time. Some say they miscalculated. But they tried to leave Mitzrayim early. The Bnei Ephraim. That's why would the Bnei Ephraim why did they try to leave early? And also, the children of Ephraim didn't leave a couple generations later. Why are they still called the Bnei Ephraim? Shevet Ephraim. They're called the Bnei Ephraim, as if it had something to do with Ephraim. Says Rabbi Yaakov, the Efshar says, Zeu shegarm lehem lebnei Ephraim litos. No! This is what caused them the mistake. Ulahak them as cheshmen akates. Called them as mano. That's why they miscalculated by 30 years. Bnei shekoshi yashibun yasla biyoser. They felt the shibun more than any others. They felt they were losing it. They felt they were getting swallowed up in Shakua in Mitzrayim. They felt it more than any other of the Jewish people. Bnei Ephraim specifically. And that's why they felt they had to get out. Because when we're around other cultures and in other countries, it's a great danger. We always have to remember the source. Yaakov Avinu says, remember Girsa the Yankasa. Remember Eretz Canaan. If you didn't grow up there, the parents and the grandparents, me, I as a Zaydi, I have to make sure that I pass this on to my grandchildren. So therefore the brothers weren't and wouldn't be jealous. I gave you the end of it also in the next page. That's why they're called the Bnei Ephraim. Last one for today. Feel free to look at number 11 afterwards. Another Ksav Sofer, which I had room on the page. I just stuck it in. It's the last Ksav Sofer in Sefer Parshas Vayechi. So I put it in there. It's about Parnassa. It's a very nice Ksav Sofer. Doesn't need my Haskama. But source number 10. Source number 10. L'Torah V'Lamoadim. End off with Rav Zevin. Devin points out the bracha for Yehuda. Yehuda ata yoducha achecha. Right, Yehuda, you, yoduch achecha, your brothers will praise you. Yoduch achecha. Kara ravat ka'ari ukalavi mi'ikimeni. So Rashi, Unkelis, right? Unkelis, the first, Parshas Vayechin is also a bracha. Unkelis, you gotta work at Unkelis. Doesn't just translate, but he's really a mafarish for Vayechi and Pazos HaBracha. But here, Kara Ravatz Kari, so he bends down like a lion, and Klavi Mi'ikimenu. Who's gonna raise him up? So that's the Ari and the Lavi, right? Like he's bending down, he's raised up. So what exactly is the message? So again, you could say many different pshatim in all the pesukim here in Vayechi. Says Rav Zevin, Bein b'muvan achomri u'bein b'muvan hamusari, Yesh hevdelim bein hashpas matzavo shel ha'adam al ha'adam atzmo. Says Rav Zevin, every situation in life affects us. And we can react in very different ways. Very different ways. B'muvan achomri, yesh matzavo shel ha'adam yarud meduka. Sometimes we are in a downtrodden state. Humis yaish, v'nofa ba'atzvus, and we can become depressed, we can become sad, umarish choro ba'azos yad, we can give up hope. That's if we're in a difficult, trying time, one reaction that we have is that we just throw it away. Yeush. V'yeshehu tamid amitzlev, v'yodeh hiskabrel kishlonosav. But sometimes we get and we find hidden reservoirs of energy and of hope that we didn't even know we had. Sometimes there are despairing states and there's inner strengths that we see people have in such tragic situations that it's inspirational. And that's another way to react. So it's the same situation. There's a tsara. A nation is downtrodden. They could be affected by giving up or they could be affected by hoping and staying encouraged. Like Ebenezer says, "V'hu rochev al asono." You could be riding on your ason, but ason also can mean tragic event. Rabbi Mikatzkamar, like he quotes the famous Kutzker, "Yeush shalomidas." Yeush only comes without having the proper perspective. He also quotes another one, "Yeush kone baved." Okay, and he says the same thing in other situations. "V'yesh b'matzav shal osher va'osher." Line 8, by Ashirus, "Yeush asher matzav zeh mashpia al ha'adam." If somebody gets a great windfall. So that could raise up a person. Look what I did. Kochi v'osim yadi. I'm the greatest. Look what I have accomplished. That's what Osher could do to a person. V'yesh l'hefech. Or if somebody receives a great windfall, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me so much. Oh, that's awesome. I can't believe how much he gives me. Shekol ma shebekabel yosar chasadim v'tovas v'yeshuos yosar hu margish she'inu zaka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you doing to me? Katonti mikala chasadim mikala emes. I don't deserve any of this. Every situation in life, we could have opposite cases, opposite feelings. And he continues also with other examples as well. He says, line 25, maybe that's what's alluded to in this pasuk. Kara ravatz ka'aryeyu chalavi. Lying down, encroaching like a lion. Yesh lo shnei muvanim. Two pshatim. Number one, afilu b'shas shekara v'ravatz. Maybe even when Yehuda is lying and sitting down, meaning, he's being pushed down, he's koreu mishtachaveh, b'chozo zaf pam lo esyayish. But he never gives up and stays down, elagam haz his orka ariv uchalavi. He jumps up like a lion. We could be kara ravatz. We're all the way pushed down, but we're like an ari. Or the opposite. Afilu b'shas shahaya ka'aryeyo chalavi. Even when we're like a lion, we're on the top of the world, we're king of the jungle, b'tachlis agvura. But he stays low down. This is the bracha given to Yehuda. Yehuda, atah yoducha achecha, your brothers will praise you. And we are all Yehudim. Yehudim who have to have the ability at times when we are downtrodden to recognize that Kodesh Baruch Hu is still with us. And to look for those inner reservoirs of strength, being together with Klal Yisrael, being together with Jews everywhere. Wherever they are, having to feel Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, having to have that outlook. I mentioned in the past the Slonim Rebbe who says, Pasuk in Parsha Shmos, the Basya, Basparo, looks at the little baby in the basket, and the Pasuk says, Vayar vihine nar bocheh, vatomer miyaldei ha'ivrim zeh. She saw the baby was crying, and she said, oh, he's a Jewish baby. So Rashi quotes, maybe he was small, maybe the whole basket was shining, but says the Nesiva Shalom, no, what does the Pasuk say? Vihine nar bocheh, what does that mean? she saw that he was crying and said, oh, he must be a Jewish baby. Why? A Jew cries differently than anyone else. A Jew cries not a bechi shel yeyush, but a bechi shel tikva. A bechi that we know there's going to be a brighter time. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to find a way. It might not be in the short run. Hopefully it'll be in the short run. But that's what a Jew does. Even when he's kara v'ravatz, we're ka'ariv v'chalavi. But on the other hand as well, when we are ka'ariv v'chalavi, when we have victories, we know it wasn't kochi v'otzim yadi. It wasn't anything on this earth. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chodo v'atzmo, ein lan amila hesha'ein, ela alavinu shabashamayim. Even when we're ka'ariv v'chalavi, we have to keep an attitude of kara v'ravatz. So as we stay in these, we daven, and we hope in these difficult times for Klal Yisrael, we have to make sure that we have the attitude of, even though we're in a kara v'ravat state, we have to have the ka'ariyu chalavi attitude. We have to make sure that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our tefillahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has His divine plan that Bez Hashem, Yeshuas v'Nechamos, should come to Klal Yisrael very soon.